small voice. You just keep desisting. Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside? To think just for you on a cross someone died. Do you know how it feels when he knocked to surrender? Have your sins washed away, never to be remembered. And know that it's real. Tell me, do you know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? Head on your pillow each night and know that it's real. Ain't it good to know how it feels? Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed? And it seems that the whole world has been rearranged. Do you know how it feels wherever you roam? You still get a feeling that you're not at home. Knowing heaven is real, tell me do you know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Ain't it good to know how it feels? How does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Ain't it good to know how it feels?
Ready to sing another. I know they're looking at me like I'm crazy. I told them just a minute ago to sing one. I told them early this morning to sing two. It's God's time. I want to ask you something. Do you know how it feels to know you're all right? Before I met Jesus, Brother Ike, I was all wrong. And in His righteousness, He made me all right. Amen. Do you know what it is to have the burden of sin lifted off of you? To know that if you die and you sleep, heaven will be your home. Hallelujah. Can't beat it. We're not saved by feelings. We're saved by faith. But if you ever get that load of sin picked up off of you, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, you're going to know something happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing, youngins, and then I'll do my best to come and preach. Another thing I thought about, too, on the video that they're making of the singing, the people that don't get to come right now, Brother Jim and Sister Marge, think about people like that. Pastor ain't going to cut them down to one song. They're going to get to hear another. Amen. And Let's just go to meeting this morning. Would that be all right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Sing.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is, Salvani.
For several weeks. And the first song we sang, Do You Know How It Feels? A lot of us know how a lot of things feel like that. We feel fear right now. We feel uncertainty. We feel comfort in His presence. We feel hope. We feel all of that at the same time. And in a world right now where you look around and you don't only see the lost bowing to anything and everything aside from the Creator of the universe. You see us bowing to each other. You see them bowing to social pressure. Some of them, you see them straight up bowing down to Satan himself. That's terrifying to me. As a mother with a 4- and a 5-year-old looking around, seeing the world that's going to get given to them. But I thank God that one day at 15 years old, I bowed my knees at an altar, and I gave my life to Him. And it doesn't matter what I feel. It's what I know. I know He saved me. I know He's in control. I know that nothing can touch me. Nothing in this world that He doesn't have His hand in. So I thank God, because it is a privilege to come into His presence. And not just here at church, even though, like Sad has said many times, those 2 months we couldn't come. It's an honor and a privilege to be back. But I thank God that He brings new mercies every morning, and I can come to Him anytime with anything. And I thank Him for that.
In His hands He holds the power of creation. With His voice He spoke and all things came to be. Yet He hears each simple prayer I bring before Him. When I humbly seek His face and bow the knee.
That makes glad they sung that second song. I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter what's going on in this church. The Spirit of God deals with your heart. It would never be wrong for you to get up and come in this old-fashioned altar and bow the knee. People are carrying heavy burdens. Some are still carrying a sin burden. And the only way to get rid of it is bow the knee. Amen. Bow the knee. What a blessing. Blessing to be here today. I'm going to be reading in Psalm 37 in just a moment. I'm making a few announcements now for those folks that are watching on the internet or seeing a DVD or listening to a CD. Brother Richard and Brother Jim have and are doing a tremendous job helping us with that, that no one is left out. And I thank God for that. But the announcements that I would need to make to those out there that aren't able to be here at church this morning is that we originally planned to go back to Sunday school in July, but we have put the brakes on that right now. We're not ready to do that. In Tennessee, I think it was Brother Steve was telling me a couple days ago, the cases went up 750. Then the day after that, they went up 800. And I told you all, I think Wednesday night or last Sunday, maybe both, that Tennessee had turned red on the map. So we're just trying to be cautious. And so we will not be starting up Sunday school. We will not be starting up Children's Church, either one of them. And then also, or that would include the van ministry, of course. And then we will just leave Bible school right now up in the air, just depending on what goes on with the virus in the weeks ahead. And I appreciate everybody just praying. I want to say this to everybody that's here, those that maybe are gone just this week. One family just chose not to come back today. They've been out of town. They called me last night and said, Pastor, we're just going to lay low for a week. Where this man worked, they required him to quarantine for 14 days. So they're gonna lay low for a week. He said, we just didn't want to come right back in the church and not knowing anything. So anyway, I appreciate people being considerate of each other, and I appreciate the Lord and His grace and His direction. Thank God. I mean this. I tell the church from time to time, but this church has some wonderful deacons, and I just thank God that they're always pulling with Pastor, and we're just trying to get the job done for the glory of God. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And a lot going on this morning. I doubt very seriously I'll get finished with this message, but let me just kind of introduce it this morning, and then maybe we'll come back to it tonight. It's a rich chapter in the Word of God. It's a Psalm of David. And David was declared to be a man after God's own heart. Where the Lord spoke to my heart this morning, look at verse 39 for the sake of time. We'll be all over the chapter today. But let's look at verse number 39 and verse number 40. The Bible said, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. You remember that's recorded in Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not of man. I believe in the book of Acts it was worded something like this: neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Thank God for the cross. Let me just say this. If something doesn't happen in our nation, somebody will be wanting to climb up on that steeple and tear that cross down. Somebody will be wanting to tear that one off the front of the old church back there, Brother Grizzle. And we need help. We need help. in America. We need help. But here's how God spoke to my heart. The Bible said, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. How many can say right that amen right there? But notice right here, here's the words where God spoke to my heart. In the time of trouble. You see that right there? God just kind of burned in my heart. I think if we don't understand that we're in a time of trouble, we've got our head in the sand. The Bible said, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because, now look at this, they trust in Him. God's not going to help us because He thinks we're somebody. He's going to help us because we know He's somebody. Because we're putting our trust, our confidence in Him. Pray with me for a moment, would you please? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can bow our head and call you our Father. I thank you, Lord, that because you are our Father, we're part of a precious family, the family of God. And Lord, I know it can't be long until, Lord, you're going to step out on a cloud of glory and you're going to say to your youngins, come up hither. It's enough. And we're going home. And Lord, until then, the psalmist David is painting us a picture here in the book of Psalms that tells us that we have help. We have hope. And Lord, that our home is not in this world. Our home is in heaven. I pray now, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts and give us help today from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You notice in the time of trouble in verse number 39, look at verse number 19, if you would, please, for just a moment. The Bible said, they shall not be ashamed. What do those next words say? In the evil time. I'll tell y'all something. We're not only living in an evil time and a time of trouble, but the Word of God over and over in this text is going to use the word wicked. I'm telling you, beloved, there is wickedness. And you remember that before God destroyed the earth with water, the Bible said that their wickedness came up before God. And the Bible said that in the Gospels that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I don't believe it's any time for us to get downhearted. I believe God wants to lift us up. I believe He wants us to look up. I believe He wants us to know that our redemption is drawing nigh. And that the things that are being done in this world are just telling us, beloved, the King is on His way. And that God's people are soon to be delivered. I'll give you three things in the message today. I don't know how far I'll get. But three things that David knew that I believe was a great help to him in a time of trouble, in an evil time, in a wicked day. You say, Pastor, that was way back even before the coming of Christ. Beloved, ever since sin has been in the world, there's been wickedness. Ever since sin has been in the world, there's been evil. I mean, it started with the first two brothers. Amen. There's been evil in mankind's heart. First of all, you might think this is kind of silly, but I think it's where God wants us to start. The first thing I want to say in the message is David knew the difference. We're talking about, beloved, a man that knew the difference between righteousness and holiness and wickedness and sinfulness. The Word of God said over and over. Let me just show you a little bit in the chapter. In verse number 1 and verse number 7 and verse number 8, David says, fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse number 7, he said, rest in the Lord. Then he said, fret not because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then if you look at verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. He said, fret not. If you're not careful, listen to me carefully, you can know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, know that you're heaven bound with the hammer down, and get in a shape where you're discouraged and you're looking around and you see, beloved, listen, financial things going down the tubes. You see faith going down the tubes in many circles. And beloved, listen, if you're not careful, it'll trouble your heart. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know why this just came to my mind, but it did. What would it mean to me? My Father's been in heaven since 2015. I believe it was August of 2015. I believe that's when my daddy went to heaven. Pretty sure it is. I know it was 2015. But what would it mean to me if I knew of a surety? I got a text message on my phone. Dad said, I'll see you this afternoon, son. I tell you what's the truth. Somebody help me. Well, my daddy ain't never lied to me, amen. So if I got that text message and I knew it was from my daddy, I'd know I was going to see him this afternoon. Well, listen, just if you can just think about that person that's gone on before you, that's went on to heaven, you getting a message that they're coming. Beloved, how excited ought to be that, beloved, the one that made it possible for us to meet our loved ones again has said, I'm coming. And David knew the difference. Over and over he said here, look in verse 1, he calls them the workers of iniquity. In verse number 9, he calls them evildoers. In verse number 7, man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In verse number 10, he says the wicked. In verse number 12, he says the wicked. In verse number 14, he said the wicked. In verse number 16, he said many wicked. In verse number 17, he says the wicked. In verse number 20, he says the wicked. In verse number 21, he says the wicked. And the Bible said there in verse number 28, the seed of the wicked. In verse number 32, the wicked. Verse number 34, the wicked. Verse number 35, the wicked. Verse number 38, the transgressors. I'm telling you, David is bringing us some good news in this chapter, but he realizes it's in the middle of a mess. There's wicked everywhere. You say, Pastor, I don't know why somebody would want to set the flag on fire. I do. They're wicked. You say, Pastor, I don't know why one black person would want to burn another black person's business down. I'll tell you why. They're wicked. They're wicked. I want to ask you something. People are shot in Chicago every weekend. You say, Preacher, you're going to get political. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, beloved, the heart of man is wicked. I'm telling you that the percentage of people, black people in America that are killed by the police is very, very small. It's in the single digits. You say, Pastor, why is not somebody upset? Let me ask you this. There's a black man laying in a coma right now that was standing in front of a statue in Virginia, and when they pulled the statue down, it busted his head. He's laying in a coma and may not live, and if the man don't know Jesus, he's in bad shape. Let me ask you something. Does that black life matter? Let me ask you another question. I'm talking about wickedness. The babies. Do those black lives matter? I know it's not popular, but I'm going to tell you something. Every black life matters. Every white life matters. Every Filipino life, Brother Brian, matters. Everybody matters to Jesus. And to say that one matters more than another or less than another is wicked. It's wicked. David said in his day, it was a time of trouble. It was an evil time. I believe if we can't see that in our day, there's something bad bad wrong. Now watch me. You say, Pastor, you started out saying David knew the difference. I believe if my dad were living and I was raised in Bel Air, Maryland, actually Edgewood, I started out in Bel Air. Excuse me. I started out in Bel Air in elementary school, middle school. I moved to Edgewood. You say, can anything good thing come out of Edgewood? Miss Eve did, and I'm keeping her. Amen. But if my dad knew that there was a riot, a protest, something going on down there at the school or something going down there at the county seat, you think my dad would have let me go down there? You think my dad would have let me stand in front of the statue that was being pulled down? I'll tell you what been pulled down, my britches. Somebody say amen. You say, Preacher, why would your daddy pull your britches down? Because the belt been that much more effective. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you're talking like it. Here's why I'm talking like this. We cannot assume, Sister Brenda, that our children know the difference. They have to be taught the difference between wickedness and righteousness. And the measuring stick, I'm going to ask Chance. He's sitting here. He's in college and missing baseball, ain't you, buddy? I guarantee you are. Am I lying or telling the truth? You're telling the truth. Amen. Amen. He finally learned how to hit a curveball, and then they stopped it. Amen. You're welcome, Chance. You can give me $5 after the service if you want to. Amen. But Chance, have you been taught anything in school that made you raise your eyebrows? Did you say, yes, sir? You knew it was contrary, didn't you? You want to know how you knew it was contrary? I'm not going to get too close, but you want to know how you knew it was contrary? Somebody had you in the house of God. Somebody, Brother Rick, they said, youngins, it ain't really what mommy or daddy says, it's what God says. And this ain't going to change. David knew the difference between wickedness and righteousness. And here you got people, let me just say this. Brother Brown, you're one of them guys, you're bound to be running around these circles. You're going to use the King James Bible when you get over, ain't you? If you ain't, I'm going to hit you in the back of the head or something because you can't outrun me. Say amen. Amen. But when we talk about wickedness, sometimes we're talking about a riot or robbery or murder and all those things. I'm going to tell you what else is wicked, trying to change this whole book right here. It's wicked. Trying to take that songbook, Brother Ralph, and scratch out blood. We don't like that blood in that songbook. We don't like that blood in that Bible. It's wicked. You tell me who in this world's got more authority than God. This is not the word of a man. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We believe the Bible was inspired, and what that means is God breathed it. And a man penned it down. I believe with all my heart, beloved, it's important to teach our children the difference between wickedness and righteousness. David said here, I will be their strength. He is their strength. The salvation is of the righteous is of the Lord, and He is their strength in the time of trouble. How many believes that every one of our kids, at somewhere in their life, they're going to be backed in a corner, so to speak? Mom ain't going to be there to be the strength. Dad ain't going to be there to be the strength. Pastor ain't going to be there to be the strength. I'm reminded of a young man. His name was Jamie Ray. Jamie rode the van. I drove the van when I got saved, brother. I did whatever I could. I told my pastor when I got saved, I said, if it needs painting, I'll paint it. If you need a teacher, I'll teach it. I said, if you need grass needs mowed, I'll mow it. If you need to drive a van, I'll drive it. I'll do anything. I just want to do something for Jesus. He done went and saved me. Least I could do is do a little something for him, Brother Sam. Jamie was in a science class, and they taught Jamie that, you know, how that little blob washed up on the shore, and that little blob grew some legs, you know, how that little blob done it. And then that little blob one day stood up, and one day climbed a tree, and one day its tail broke off and it fell down out of the tree, and then it was a man. One man told his grandson, he said, oh yeah, you go back and tell the professor. He said he became a professor in a college. He went across the street and bought him a suit of clothes. That's what happened to that blob. All I'm trying to say is this. The Bible said in the beginning God created. Jamie, a teenager from a poor family. Family wasn't in church, but Jamie was. Jamie reached down there. The teacher made the mistake at the end of the class, saying, does anybody have anything you want to say? Jamie's Bible, Brother Brian, was on top of his books. He reached under his chair and he got his Bible and he said, yes, ma'am. I just want to say, this book teaches in the beginning God created. That's all he said. He said, I believe this book. He sat back down. You know what I say? Enough said. Everybody knew where he stood. You want to know why he stood there? Because somebody taught him the difference between wickedness and righteousness. Do you want to know why marriage is taken so lightly? Lots of times because nobody's been taught. I'm just telling you, beloved, the Bible is the final authority. And what we need to do is get back to the book. David understood that in the time of trouble, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. Today, I think that God's people ought to be encouraged. I know it's bad. Let me help you, Brother Ike. It's going to get worse. It ain't going to get no better. The Bible said, because the love of many shall wax cold. It's going to get worse and worse. By the way, beloved, listen to me. I'm done. If you don't think that we're living in a wicked generation, go look at John Lennon's lyrics to the song Imagine and understand that in our nation there are people that would like to replace the national anthem with John Lennon's song Imagine. If you'll read it, I didn't know all about it. I saw a little bit in the news and it got me curious, so I went and read it. But imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Imagine there's no country. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't have borders, you don't have a country. You tell me why people are against a fence on the southern border, have a fence around their property. Help me. You tell me if fences don't work, why they put it up around the statue that they didn't want tore down. All I'm telling you is this. I told my wife when I read the lyrics, Brother Grizzle, it sounds like the perfect anthem for the Antichrist. Well, guess what? We're living on the threshold of that booger being here. Amen. We ought to be excited knowing that the Lord is our salvation. Yes, we're in an evil time. Yes, we're in a time of trouble. But thank God we know the difference. We know the difference. I don't have to go down to the liquor store to get peace. I'll go into it tonight. But over and over in this chapter, it talks about peace. Honey, if you ever get a drink of living water, you'll understand you'll never find no peace anywhere else. Peace. The Bud Dumber and the Miller Lowlife has tore up more homes. It don't bring peace. It brings turmoil. Amen. Why do people do that? They don't know the difference. You say, well, preacher, there's something in man called a conscience. I understand that. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, when He comes in a man, He'll do a good job teaching a man. Brother Brian, you were talking about works, doing good works, or getting your back lacerated and all of that stuff. When the Holy Spirit comes in a man, he understands that it's not about my back being lacerated. It's about his back that was lacerated. He gave himself that I might live. In a time of trouble, who are you leaning on today? Who are you looking to today? Who are you bowing to today? I've talked a little bit with Chance back and forth in the message, and I'm not going to ask him this, but I'll guarantee you young people will tell you that it's not easy. It's not easy to sit there and listen to something that you know. I talked to one of our men a while back, and I could tell you the exacts, but his daughter is taking some pre-college courses. And she's taking a course right now. And she came home and said, Dad, after listening to this teacher, I really feel like I'm a racist. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. I'm going to tell you something. I bowed my knee and I asked Jesus to save me because I knew I was a sinner. I'm not going to bow my knee and ask anybody to forgive me for being white. God created me in His own image. And the black man should never bow and ask anybody to forgive him for being black. God made him. And now we've gone a lot further than that. We've got people that don't like the way God made them for being a man, so they want to be a woman. They don't like the way being a woman, so they want to be a man. We're all messed up. But God ain't messed up. Righteousness is still right. And God is telling us that David knew the difference between wickedness and righteousness. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You this morning for the precious Word of God. Thank You for You people. Thank You, Lord, for protecting us thus far. Lord, I like what Brother Ralph said a while ago. We need to remember the church. And actually, all the churches, Lord, there's probably more than one. And Lord, it may be us by this time next week that won't be able to meet again like we're meeting this morning. God, we're asking You to be with them. We're asking You to be with us. Protect us. Help us. Lord, I pray that in this time of trouble, time of wickedness, in this evil time, God, that You would help us to be a bright and a shining light. Help us to respect authority. Help us every time we see a police officer, we can encounter them, to thank them. Help us to thank our veterans. Help us, our Lord. Help the teenagers in our church, our father, the young people, to go to their mom and go to their dad. And with sincerity say, thank You for teaching me right from wrong. Because God truly, if it hadn't have been for Jesus, that statue might have hit me in the head when it fell down. God, I pray You'd help us in America. You're trying, Lord, to wake us up. I believe You tried on 9/11 to wake us up. Lord, we're ripe right now as a nation fighting one another for an attack from the outside. Oh God, I pray, help us to turn. Help us, Lord. I want to bow and thank You, Lord, that we know the difference. Bless our dear people that can't be here. God, they're longing to get back to church. Lord, bless them. Help us, Lord, to use wisdom. be with us. Save that one, our Father, that's sitting there this morning. Lord, if they could just see. It's not some little sin. But Lord, without Christ, we're lost in wickedness. Help us, our Father. See our need of a Savior. Help us, Lord, as parents, to double down. Lord, we're going to teach our children the right way. We're going to help them in this time of trouble. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to come get saved. If you're here, you're carrying a heavy burden, you'd like to come and unload it. That's what this altar's for. My sister Laura plays. If you need this altar, would you come?